Hello and welcome to Real Ramblin', the podcast for movie lovers and place where movie conversations happen. Welcome back, everyone. We find ourselves in Season 2, Episode 6 now, and we also find ourselves in a brand new year, don't we? 2022. Wow. Congratulations, everyone, for making it this far. Here's to many more years to come. And speaking of more things to come, 2022, it seems, is shaping up to be, it's going to be a big year for movies, so I am excited about that. No, I haven't really done any traditional New Year type things. I mean, mainly talking about New Year's resolutions. I know a lot of people do that. I've never really gotten into that. I mean, the concept I kind of follow, like I try to focus on one new area of improvement each year, but I don't really call it a resolution. I don't know. In many ways, if you know me personally, I'm traditional, but in the sense of New Year's, I don't know. I never really viewed it as a big deal. I don't know. That sounds dark to say. Anyway, here's a big deal. So this weekend, it's my birthday weekend. So that's kind of exciting. So even though the holidays are over, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, there's still plenty to celebrate. And that's, that's the fact that I am turning 33 as of tomorrow. And certainly starting to feel it in a lot of ways. You know, older people, people that are older than me say, no, that's not old. And then people that are younger than me, well, they call me a boomer, basically. Yeah, I'm feeling it, and I'm just enjoying each new season and each new year as it comes along. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to end up sounding depressing this episode, and I don't mean to, but birthdays are kind of another thing where I haven't really ever viewed them as a huge deal, like a big celebration holiday type thing. It's not as if, don't get me wrong, I'm not like not grateful for entering into the world and being alive. But I've never felt the need to draw a huge focus to it as something to celebrate. My wife and I laugh about this all the time, because she's huge into birthdays. And so for her, you know, I always need to make sure that we've got something real big and fun planned. And for me, she's like, oh, it's your birthday. Like, what do you want a gift? What do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know. Watch a movie. That's good enough for me. Anyway, so I'm going to try to break form and grow a little bit, because it is a new year, right? And we're working on improving. So for this year, I'm going to go ahead and celebrate through this conversation and through talking about movies, because that's why we're here, right? We love movies a lot. And when I think about the world of movies, the world of film, looking back, I've just thought about just how many Christophers, actors and directors and everyone in the film industry named Christopher, who have made such a huge impact in the industry, as well as just influencing my own personal movie watching journey. So that's what we're here to do on this episode. I'm going to celebrate not only myself, a very famous Christopher, but the other Christophers in Hollywood, in movies. So from the top, I thought I'd start with directors. And I have to start with Christopher Nolan, because when I look back and think about the time in which I really got into watching the highest volume of movies, that would have been during my years in like later high school and then certainly going into college, so early to mid-2000s, which is kind of so happens to be the sweet spot, I think, for Chris Nolan. Of course, he's still coming out with amazing ideas and some great movies, but I think of his big hits that include Memento, Inception, The Dark Knight Trilogy, The Prestige, Interstellar, Dunkirk, Tenet, several more that I'm sure I'm leaving off the list at this moment. But I mean, the guy is an Academy Award winning director, and for good reason. I know some say he's overrated. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion, of course, right? But I personally enjoy the style of Christopher Nolan. He's very artistic, and like it or not, you know, it comes out in his work. I'm not saying that I've enjoyed every single one of his movies. Certainly, I think of Tenet, which I recently talked about on the podcast, just kind of watching it and not really enjoying it from beginning to end. Part of that was just kind of trying to figure out what exactly was going on. And I think that is what irks some people watching Chris Nolan movies. It's like, do I always have to put on like three thinking caps in order to get what's going on here? I think definitely he's found a much better balance in some of his other titles, but Tenet just didn't really work for me. And then The Dark Knight Rises, I wouldn't put up there, certainly in my favorites from this director, even though Batman Begins and The Dark Knight were so awesome, in my opinion. I really loved those. Dark Knight Rises just was okay. You know, it wasn't terrible, but it was, I feel like it was the weakest of the three. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. For one thing, this is just me being weird and funny, I guess, but before this film even came out and I watched it, something that bugged me about it was the title itself, The Dark Knight Rises. I remember thinking, okay, I hear that this is going to be the third and final installment in a trilogy with Christian Bale's Batman, and it's titled The Dark Knight Rises. That just doesn't, to me, sound like it's wrapping things up. It's kind of like I felt the same way years later about Episode 9 of Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. I'm like, this is the end-all for the Skywalker saga. That's how it was marketed anyway. And then the everyone's waiting for the reveal of the title, and it's The Rise of Skywalker. I'm like, okay, that's not confusing at all. Anyway, that's a nitpick. I'll admit that. But all that to say, I don't enjoy all of Nolan's work, but he's a great director, and I appreciate some of the elements that he's brought through these movies, and they certainly have influenced and impacted the way I enjoy watching movies. I think of some of his works that are among my favorites. Interstellar is literally in my top five favorite movies of all time. It is that good, in my opinion. Or I look back to one of his somewhat earlier works, The Prestige. I think it was 2006. The Prestige. This one I didn't even realize actually was by Chris Nolan until later on, because this was like, I think it was before The Dark Knight came out. And The Dark Knight was kind of the point to me where it hit like, oh yeah, this Christopher Nolan guy, okay. Now I know who he is. And then you've got Inception, and his fame just kind of grew and grew. But The Prestige is just so good. It's a well-told story. Again, you have a well-crafted structure as well, where it's like it kind of keeps you guessing throughout, but it's fairly easy to follow. And then there's that amazing twist at the end. Stellar cast. Oh, David Bowie's cameo, still one of my favorite moments and sequences and things in existence in movie history. I love David Bowie. I recently, it's kind of funny, I was with a friend, actually, Zach. My friend Zach, if you listen to this season of the podcast so far, you've already met him. Awesome guy. I was hanging out with him recently, and it kind of came up that I realized that I was a quote-unquote Bowie head. There was a David Bowie song that came on, and I was like, oh, this is, I think it was Let's Dance. I'm like, this is like my favorite David Bowie song. And then later on, he came up again. We were playing a game or something, and then all of a sudden he turns to me, he goes, man, I didn't realize you were such a Bowie head. I thought, I didn't realize that was a term. But yeah, I suppose I am. I love David Bowie. It probably all started with my exposure to him from the movie Labyrinth, which I love. So be careful. If you have not watched Labyrinth, it is the gateway drug to becoming a Bowie head, apparently. But no, I loved his cameo in The Prestige. It's like you almost couldn't tell it was him at first because of the accent, and he just became Nikola Tesla so well. So that was awesome. A performance that stood out to me in a movie that still stands out to me as one of the greats. Moving on with directors, Christopher Guest. While Christopher Guest might not be as acclaimed or well-known as Christopher Nolan, he's still a super unique and super accomplished director. He also does have some acting in his filmography. Of course, famously, he played the six-fingered man in The Princess Bride. Iconic movie, iconic character. I love it. But really, it's his directorial career that I just absolutely love. And admittedly, I've only seen a handful of his movies, but they're in, usually they're in a style of like a mockumentary, and they're just hilarious. Every single one that I have watched is just an absolute treasure. I remember, comedy is not my go-to choice, but I like dry, somewhat dark, just weird off comedy. And with the trifecta of like Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, and A Mighty Wind. This is like late 90s, early 2000s. Oh, these are just winners. If you have not watched at least any of those three, go and watch them. They're not for everyone, I guess. Like I said, they are a unique style of humor, but man, they're good. And I have my older brothers to thank for getting me into these movies when I was in high school. But I still go back and watch them fairly regularly today. Mighty Wind in particular, that's probably my favorite of the Christopher Guest movies that I've watched, because it's not only hilarious, but the music is incredible. And it's quite heartwarming, too, I have to say. I have scoured the internet. I have searched the internet looking for the soundtrack to A Mighty Wind, specifically on vinyl. And sadly, I don't think it exists. But remember, it's my birthday, so if you want to give me... if you want to treat me to a late birthday present, try maybe harder than I did to search out the existence of the elusive Mighty Wind vinyl and send that over to me, will you? Someone. Thank you. Anyone. All right. So I'll highlight, before moving on to talking about actors named Chris in Hollywood, let's do one more director, and I think of Chris Columbus, or as I like to call him, the Magic Man. This man has directed films such as the first two Home Alone movies, which I've recently talked about, the first two Harry Potter movies, which I've talked about on the podcast in the past, and all of these are well known, and they're just good. Chris Columbus also directed Mrs. Doubtfire, so I think the common theme here and why he's so good is he knows how to capture magic. And of course, with Harry Potter, I'm speaking literally, but even with Home Alone and Mrs. Doubtfire, they have a sense of whimsy. You team up with John Williams for these movies, and the music brings you there as well, just into these fun adventures, and you don't want to leave. So thank you, Chris Columbus, for capturing the magic. May you create many more masterpieces that we can all watch and enjoy. Well, actually, one more thing I'll say about Chris Columbus. Okay, Harry Potter, this is just speaking to how amazing Chris Columbus is and why I think he was the only person for the job of directing, certainly, the first Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So in terms of the books, the first book is not my favorite. In fact, I would rank it probably near the bottom of the seven in terms of favorites and least favorites. But Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, the movie, I think is probably still my favorite movie of all eight. Remember, the last installment was in two parts with the films. Even though some of the later movies had really cool elements to them, that first movie, just, again, I keep using the phrase capturing the magic, but I think that's exactly what Chris Columbus did with Sorcerer's Stone. That first story was just so whimsical and innocent and bringing us muggles into that magical world and that experience. And Chris Columbus, I think, just did it beautifully. So one more round of applause for Chris Columbus and the other directors I've highlighted and we're celebrating here. That's Nolan, Guest, and Columbus. By the way, I think it's kind of funny that with Nolan and Columbus, you could say Chris, right? Chris Nolan, I hear that a lot. I call him Christopher Nolan, but it doesn't matter. Chris Columbus, I believe he always goes by that. But then Guest, you have to say Christopher Guest. I don't know him personally. I don't know what he prefers or goes by most commonly, but just in bringing them up, all three of these in conversation, I could say Chris Nolan, I could say Chris Columbus, but I can't say Chris Guest. That just sounds weird. Anyway, moving on to actors, let's just get the big four out of the way. Right now, in Hollywood, I should say in the larger movie community, including movie watchers, I'm sure many are getting what we might call Chris fatigue. When you think about Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, and Chris Pratt. Why? Because they are quite literally in almost everything, if you look back at least the last 5 or 6 years. I know a big part of that is the MCU bringing some of these guys in. Pine is not in that mix. He is over playing in the DC universe. But certainly with the other three, I think their career has definitely exploded through Marvel. I'm not saying they owe their whole career to Marvel, but, you know, we've seen plenty of them. And if you would argue that point, I mean, think about Chris Evans. He's done a lot of great work, but he is Captain America. You can't imagine anyone else as Captain America. He even played prior to Captain America, Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, in the less than stellar Marvel movie Fantastic Four before the days of the juggernaut that is the MCU. And even with playing another Marvel character, I barely remember that. I mean, I see Chris Evans as Captain America. That's how great of a job he did. So with all four of these guys, really, you might have fatigue, and that's understandable. At times, I feel that way as well. I'm like, oh, come on, they're in another movie. But they are talented actors. And do they look good? Yeah, sure. We can't ignore that. Actually, on that subject, though, Chris Pratt, that's hilarious that he is kind of thrown into the hunky four here. I mean, I'm not, nothing against him. He's certainly worked hard and earned where he's at right now. But it is funny when you think back at near the beginning of his career, being in Parks and Recreation and being kind of like the, you know, overweight and underachieving type of character. And that's where a lot of the humor came from. But then, like, you know, a few years later, seeing him built up and being these heroes like Star-Lord and whatever his name was in the Jurassic World series. I don't know. Man, I hate those movies. All right. I could probably do a whole episode on just these four, but I will not. But before moving on, Evans, Hemsworth, Pratt, great job. But Chris Pine, I feel like he's kind of the one that gets left behind a little bit. But if I'm being honest, I kind of enjoy his work the most in terms of acting. You know, I'm not talking about looks here right now. I'm not the person to judge that competition. But with acting and just the movies that he's been in, I think the first Wonder Woman in particular was really good, and I liked his character in it. Of course, Jim Kirk. When I first saw the posters and things for the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek film, say what you want, think what you want about those movies, but I remember seeing his face, and I didn't really know who Chris Pine was before then, but I grew up watching the original series with William Shatner as Kirk, watching that a lot with my dad, and then I catch episodes once in a while nowadays, and anyway, I thought he had the look, and then watching the movie, certainly, he was a good nod to the original Jim Kirk. But moving a little bit farther back from the modern era of Chris's, I want to highlight a couple of legendary Christophers in film. And starting with Christopher Lee, this man, wow. If you don't know a lot about Christopher Lee or you haven't seen a lot of his works, I would encourage you to do some research. Read some articles about him, read a book about him, a biography. Even if you just look on his Wikipedia or IMDb page. He has legendary status, and you cannot get around that fact. I mean, his filmography alone, he's been in lots of things. He's played Dracula like 9 times, I think. He is more well-known for his villain roles. It's hard to imagine Saruman from The Lord of the Rings as anyone but Christopher Lee in those robes. And even in the world of the galaxy of Star Wars, Count Dooku, Darth Tyrannus, I think he filled that role perfectly. And again, it's hard to, even if I'm reading like a book about Count Dooku, yes, I'm a geek, it's hard to imagine anyone else's look or voice than Sir Christopher Lee. He's just that good. Not only that, but this man was, sadly, we lost him back in, I want to say 2015, but he was one of those old school performers and Renaissance men. I mean, he was an actor, an author. Believe it or not, he was a singer. Again, look into his life and his story if you have not before. Not only was he a singer, he was a heavy metal singer. And the first time I ever saw that and saw like a cover of his one of his albums, I cracked up. That was my first reaction because I just could not believe it. But the more you think about it, it's like, yeah, that just seems right because Christopher Lee is that legendary. he had a background in theatrical acting, of course. I mean, that comes out in his even his film roles. But just a quality, high-caliber actor and an awesome guy, too. If you've seen him in interviews, he is so humble. And he is one of those people that just clearly cares about what he does and puts 100% of himself into his work, particularly with The Lord of the Rings. If you haven't watched any of the hours of extras in the old DVD box sets of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, or I'm sure by now they're just available online somewhere, but watch some of his interviews and interviews even of other cast and crew members talking about having Sir Christopher Lee on set. And he was just so devoted to becoming Saruman, which is interesting because at first, apparently, he was wanting to or supposed to play Gandalf. But this is, again, how much he cared about the final product and how true it was to the source material. He felt that he wasn't perhaps going to be able to perform some of the more physical elements of what Gandalf does, you know, sword fighting, horseback riding, because of his age. And so they ended up handing those things over to Ian McKellen, and then with Sir Christopher Lee playing Saruman. But in the end, like I said, I can't imagine anyone else in either of those roles, so it was just perfect. Not only that, he was super knowledgeable of the source material. He was constantly reading the books before he got the role, and even on set, they said he was kind of the one bringing everyone back to, well, Saruman would do this, or I just think that's so cool, and I love seeing that from that kind of commitment from actors. Christopher Lee, you are missed. Someone else of legendary status in my book anyway, Christopher Reeve. He might not be remembered for as many roles, but much like I see Sir Christopher Lee as the definitive Saruman or Count Dooku, Christopher Reeve to me is the definitive Superman. As great as Henry Cavill is, I still hold Christopher Reeve as a Superman in that first Superman original movie, a special place in my heart. I think it was well done. The sequels, maybe not as much, but as a person, it seems that Christopher Reeve was just as varied and just a cool guy. He was an activist, also an author. I could go on and on, but Christopher Reeve, we celebrate you. Thank you for your work and what you brought to the industry. Sadly, we also lost him back in 2004. And of course, for a while, he had been living with the result of a bad horseback riding accident. So he really had to live through a lot of hard things. But I mean, not to get too emotional here, but I think all around he just embodied the qualities of, I think, his most iconic role of Superman. He was a really outstanding guy, even in the face of scary and hard things. So before wrapping up here, I want to definitely list some honorable mentions as far as Christophers in the world of film. I'm going to count, if you'll allow me, Christoph Waltz. I know it's not Christopher, but close enough. In fact, on a lot of forms that I fill out or that I have filled out throughout my lifetime, especially if it's something digital or online, I'll try to put my full name Christopher, and then it'll end up only accepting like up to Christoph. So I end up being Christoph Jovanovic, and that's fine with me. Christoph Waltz is so legendary. Talk about legendary. I think even though he's older in age, I think his career hopefully still has a lot to add to it because he is so memorable and so good. I think he plays creepy and villainous really well, but then he also is a joy to see in some other movies where he's kind of like in a helper role. I think of Django Unchained, and he was my favorite part about that movie. But then I also absolutely loved him as a Bond villain in the last two Daniel Craig Bond films. He's just so crazy. Cuckoo. And speaking of crazy, so Christopher Walken is another honorable mention. And not only does he have a pretty wide range of characters that he's played, but and he has talents. He's another one. Theater actor, singer, and he, even though he's getting up there in years, you know, he's still working hard and delivering enjoyable things for us audiences. So good on you, Christopher Walken. Christopher Plummer, of course, again, recently losing him. Really sad. Legendary actor. Christopher Lloyd. Grateful that he's still with us. It's cool to see him in different pictures on social media and things like that, you know, getting together with Michael J. Fox and the others from the Back to the Future franchise for just different events and photo opportunities. And he seems really fun. But of course, Doc Brown, legendary, iconic character. But beyond that, let's not forget how much we loved Christopher Lloyd in movies like My Favorite Martian or Dennis the Menace. So good. Angels in the Outfield. I can go on and on. But I'm going to move to my final segment on this episode, and it's a final question that I would normally ask a guest on the show, but I'll kind of ask it to myself along with all of you listeners. So please, reach out to me, let me know the answer to this question. If you could sit down, or if I could sit down, and have a conversation with any of these Chris's, these Christophers that we are celebrating this weekend, who would it be, and why? I actually kind of thought about this question for longer than I thought I would. And I think the reason is, if it were just a I bounce back and forth between a few of the Christophers. If this were a like one question only that I had in a Q&A session or something, I would probably choose Christopher Guest, because I just want to know what I want to hear from his mouth, not like reading in an article or, you know, looking online somewhere or watching an interview. I want him to tell me and relive some of the experiences of what movie that he has been a part of, whether acting or directing or producing, whatever, which one has he had just the most fun with? I think that'd be great to know, and just a lot of fun hearing the details about it. But with the scenario being having a full-on conversation, like in a room with one of these Christophers, talking with them for a while, I have to choose Christopher Walken, because he's just so, first of all, he's done so much, and he's just so weird and funny and unique. I feel like he would not only talk about maybe some of his experiences in his roles in movies, but talk about just, I feel like he would have a lot of crazy stories personally. And it would just be a blast listening to him too. I mean, come on, he has one of the funniest and most recognizable voices, I think, in Hollywood. And who knows, maybe after the conversation we can have a jam session, maybe some cowbell. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 6 of this season of the Real Ramblin' Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. And please continue to listen, subscribe to the podcast if you are not already. You know where you can find it, pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, I've also got a website, so check me out at realramblin.com, where you can read movie reviews and blog posts about all kinds of different topics in the movie-loving, movie-watching, movie-going world that are all written by yours truly. And I encourage you, whether you are fresh to the podcast or you've been listening for a while, or if you just started reading some of my work on the website, reach out to me. Continue the conversation. That's just as important as starting the conversation, I think, or listening. I want to know how you feel about this stuff from one movie lover to another. What are your favorites? What are some things you don't like? What are things that you agree or disagree with me about? That's what conversation is, and that's, for me, that's half the fun of watching movies, is developing opinions and thinking about it and talking about them with people. So thank you for joining me on this journey. You could find me at Real Ramblin' on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or send me an email anytime at realramblin@gmail.com. I am hopeful for the rest of this year that it's going to be a good one, and I'm also super excited about the rest of this season 2 of Real Ramblin'. Got some exciting stuff down the line coming for you, including next week I'm going to be talking about food in movies. Oh man, if there's anything I love just as much as movies, it's food, so I'm excited for that. All right, but until then, keep on watching movies, keep talking about them, and please keep on rambling. See you next time.